Hey podcasters, Claire, Matt and Kimber here from The Big Breakfast.
On today's catch up, your must-hear financial advice from the barefoot investor, Scott Pape.
Trevor Long explains the Huawei problem with Google.
All of the experts, and we'll find out how long it was broken. What's that about?
Are you trying not to mention The Big Breakfast spelling bee?
Oh, we don't want to go there.
Oh, God.
How do you spell that? P-E-A?
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6am on Mix 94.5.
And we thought we'd talk with our tech guru. His name is Trevor Long. He's on the line right now. Trev, good morning, mate.
Morning, team.
Trevor, big news this morning. Quite a few consumers opted for a Huawei mobile because they had pretty great operations and a much lower price than Apple and Samsung phones, almost half the price in some cases. But their whole system was run through Google, and now Google want out. So what is this going to mean for the consumer?
It's not good. So Huawei sales in the last 2 years have been exceptional in Australia. Their flagship devices have been some of the best phones on the market. But the US government, let's just call it Donald Trump, put in a trade ban against Huawei, which means any US company that wants to do business with Huawei has to get permission from the government.
Right.
Now, that doesn't matter whether you're selling them a chip, you're selling them a piece of glass for a screen, or whether you're selling them software. And the Huawei phones, like Samsung and every phone except Apple, use the Android operating system, which is made by Google. And so Google have overnight announced that essentially they're adhering to the ban and they're going to cease providing software services to Huawei. Now, for an existing Huawei owner, that may not mean anything for another year or so. But in a year or so, I just don't think you're going to get the updates. You're going to get the security software updates and things like that that you might expect. And the bigger problem for Huawei is they would normally release a couple of big phones a year among many others that they would have at a lower cost. I don't know how they do that anymore. So, I just don't know how they release phones without that Google software.
Mm. So, Trev, will it literally get to a point where it's Google's way or the Huawei?
Well done. I'll pay that, and I will use that from this point on. But
it's yours, buddy. It's yours.
Look, Google wouldn't want this. So don't get me wrong. Google aren't doing this by choice. I mean, Huawei is one of the biggest sellers. They're the second biggest seller of mobile phones in the world. Google would like Gmail and Google Maps on every one of those phones. But they also don't want a multi-bazillion-dollar fine from the US government, so they have to comply. Huawei would argue they can run a version of Android that doesn't involve Google, and they will. They will probably come out with phones that don't have Google on them. But from a consumer perspective, I can't imagine me recommending them like I do the Huawei phones because it'll be harder to get apps. It'll be not the same user experience. It just won't be the same. And so this is potentially a game changer, a deal breaker for Huawei as a consumer-driven company.
Trevor, news to hand, the Chinese have put sanctions on Matt's sense of humour for the rest of the morning.
And long overdue they are.
No, you're going to use it. We know you're going to use it. Mate, what about the long term for this? What are the ramifications down the line?
Yeah, I think that the bigger problem here is for, you know, Huawei's not the only company making phones in China. If this goes beyond Huawei and becomes very much a China-US thing, could have huge ramifications across pretty much everyone but Apple and Samsung. But remember, Apple make their phones in China too. They've started manufacturing a bit in India. But I think this whole trade war thing has much bigger implications on the world. And the funny thing about all this, apart from Matt's jokes, Huawei don't sell phones in the USA.
No.
They don't even sell phones in the
right.
US. So Donald Trump's changes impact on Australia and the UK more than they impact on America.
Trev, can I ask you a question that's slightly off-piste and off-topic, but a lot of people have been sort of, you know, who aren't foil hat wearers, have been getting sort of worried about some noise they're hearing about the 5G changeover and whether there are health implications or implications to the environment for this new technology.
Mate, the biggest challenge here is 4G, if you think of all the mobile phone towers you see in your area, 4G has a much greater range than 5G. I don't know the exact numbers, but trust me, they're going to need double, if not triple, if not more, towers to make 5G the same coverage as 4G.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, I'm not a tinfoil hat wearer, but I'm mindful of the fact that I use a mobile phone a lot, and it does worry me a little. So I think there is a concern about how much is going on, but there is absolutely no proven link between any health effects and mobile phone towers, let alone Wi-Fi and all the other things. This radio signal that we're broadcasting on right now is more powerful than any of the mobile towers out there. So, you know, it is pretty much conspiracy territory, but I get why people are concerned about it, and we should be aware, and we should be ensuring the government is essentially keeping tabs on this stuff. off.
Sure.
Okay. Mm. Well, maybe a bigger issue of the real estate becomes important for where those towers go.
Exactly. Going to be huge changes in our suburbs.
Yeah. Why can I feel my ears burning in these headphones? What's going on? I'm going to put in a compo claim.
Hey, Trev, good to catch up, mate. All the best.
A pleasure.
He puts it so succinctly, doesn't he?
He Trevor really Long, does,
Tech Guru. Check out what he's got to say, eftm.com.au. It's
The Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
It's time for a spelling test.
No. Really?
You bet it is. Look, Game of Thrones finale was last night, or yesterday morning. And
oh, was it?
Twitter went into a meltdown because, of course, once people have seen it, they feel like they can say whatever they like.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
But the problem is that people were hashtagging Game of Thrones and didn't realise that they were actually using hashtag Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. Now, you'd love to think that it only happened once or twice, but it was retweeted 250,000 times.
The missing R's.
Because nobody realised that the R was missing.
Sure.
Surely we're not that dumb.
I would have missed it.
Really?
Well, because it kind of looks right, you know, if you're just glancing at it.
It's fairly close.
Yeah.
The old Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Well, I thought, well, let's do a spell test to see if we are that dumb.
Hey, kids. Can you help me with some spelling?
cute.
Very important to learn how to spell. You can't rely on the spell checker all the time.
Yeah. Oh, why not?
All right, well, let's go with the first one. First one, you're up first, Maddie.
Okay.
Good luck, Matt.
Yeah. Spell the word argument.
A-R-G-U-M-E-N-T.
Correct.
Oh, no way.
He wasn't confident, but correct.
Oh, wow.
You got an easy one to start with.
Oh.
Okay, Clancy.
All right.
Spell the word humorous.
H-U-M-E-R-O-U-S.
Come on, incorrect.
She also would have accepted D-Y-K-T-Y-N-S-K-I.
That's a tough one, H-U-M-O-R-O-U-S. You lose the U in there, which we spell in the Australian version.
True.
But when it becomes humorous, we ditch it.
So my attempt wasn't humorous?
Not even close.
Great.
okay, Maddie, spell the word separately.
S-E-P. E R A
B O. Separately. It is S E P A R A T E L Y.
What does it matter?
Okay.
Guys, remember what Taylor Swift's been saying lately. Hey, kids, spelling is fun. No, it's not. Not having much fun here, Taylor.
All right, Clazy, spell the word fluorescent.
Oh, don't do this to me. I'm a terrible speller.
Come on, fluorescent.
F L U R O C N O T.
Fluorescent.
No, it's not fluorescent. Oh. It is F-L-U-O-R.
Right.
E-S-C-E-N-T.
Isn't that what it's in?
Oh, no, sorry, mate.
All them frog
words. You forgot
words.
The U.
Oh, right. I can't spell unless I'm writing it down.
All right, let's try again. Let's go, Maddie, spell the word independent.
I-N-D-E-P-E-N-D-A-N-T.
Ba-bow. Sorry, it's an E at the end. There's no A there.
Oh.
It's independent.
Independent.
So glad you didn't get another one because it would have been 2-0.
Goodness me. How are we going? So that's 2 incorrect for...
Can I have like a 3-letter word or something?
Yeah, no, Claire's. Okay, well, let's wrap it up with definitely.
Oh, definitely won't get this right. D-E-F. Is that enough? I-N-A-T-L-E-Y.
Oh, but bow. There's no A in definitely.
Isn't there?
No, and that's why your text messages always come through as defiantly.
Oh, well, I was defiant. You're getting it right. Like I said, I can't spell unless I'm writing things
down.
Kids, if you're listening at home, school is so important.
Yeah, otherwise you'd just end up a radio DJ.
Just a dumb jock. Definitely. Oh, don't say definitely. No.
This is the song that helps you remember.
Oh, I hate this guy. There are 2
E's. This is poor man's Tim Minchin.
How do you spell Minchin?
Game of Thrones.
Oh, very good.
Spell check yourselves, people.
Yeah, the teacher feels good about herself now. 7:26. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Money. Scott Pape, the Barefoot Investor. Barefoot Investor Scott Pape, good morning, mate.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're great, Scott. I mean, we're all recovering from the election being over, and some of us who don't have the $80 million that Clive Palmer had now are wondering what's going to happen to our money with the government, well, not change, but stay.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, the after party is happening on the share market because the banks
are up about $30 billion this morning as I say this. So the banks are all up, which is, look, they haven't had a huge surge like this since, I don't know, maybe when the Royal Commission actually flogged them with a wet lettuce leaf. That was the last time they boomed. So I guess investors are suggesting that this is a good move for anyone who owns banks. But good point. Let's just do a quick recap. I went to the budget. It was in May. It was the most boring budget ever, deliberately so. Yeah. There wasn't a lot in there. There weren't any huge spending promises. There weren't a lot of tax changes. So households with incomes between 48 grand and 90 grand will receive a tax refund of $1,080 when they lodge their tax return, say in August. But other than that, it was a very boring budget that Josh Frydenberg passed down. So the real thing for me with Labor losing the unlosable election, the thing for me is what happens to the property market? Because the property market had factored in changes to negative gearing, changes to capital gains tax. And so some people were suggesting that that's why the market was falling. Whether or not now that we've got ScoMo in with a clear mandate, perhaps that will maybe bottom out housing prices. We speculate that the Reserve Bank is going to cut interest rates next month. We may get two interest rate cuts by the end of the year.
I guess the frightening thing, Scott, is that every, and I don't know nothing about economics, but I heard many economists talking about negative gearing and capital gains, suggesting that this is something that absolutely has to happen. Now, obviously, the Australian electorate shied away from making those changes. Is this just sort of papering over some cracks?
Any negative gearing changes or any changes to franking credits are gone for a generation. They're not going to touch it. Political poison, not going to happen. In its place, what they've got is the first home loan deposit scheme, right? So this was something, this was kind of a brain snap or a thought bubble by ScoMo in the final week of the election. But if you are earning $125,000 as an individual or $200,000 as a couple, you will be able to buy your first home with a 5% deposit versus the typical 20% deposit. And that to me is stupid policy. I don't think it's the government's role to be encouraging first home buyers to save less of a deposit. Although I know it's hard, I don't think the idea of the government going guarantor for you is a good thing.
Our guest is Scott Pape, the Barefoot Investor. Mate, you must be shocked because you pretty much were talking for a while there. We all were thinking that Bill Shorten was going to be the new PM and you pretty much said the words to us a few times. But from a basic point of view, for the average family out there in the burbs here in Perth, how much will this change or will it change their weekly purse?
Not really. I mean, I think the one thing that we would see is the price of your house. And the one thing that I have said consistently is the level of anger about the franking credits with retired Australians is something unlike anything I've ever seen before. Eddie McGuire always says to me, you always got to back self-interest. And if we look at it today, the stock market is absolutely firing. So obviously investors are thinking it's good for them.
You can't go wrong if you've got money, really.
Well, I mean, I am a barefoot investor. I do encourage people to have some money. And, you know, I'm not a political beast. I just play the cards that are dealt. But I think that this is potentially a good thing for the housing market, maybe not for first home buyers if they take the government bribe and get into a house that potentially they can't afford.
The Barefoot Investor, Scott Pape, always good to catch up, mate. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, guys.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
If I say the word Big Bang Theory, what comes to mind straight away?
Albert
Their pay
Einstein.
Packets.
What an incredible hit show it's been. And of course, as we know, TV networks will flog and flog and flog a show until it's done and dusted. But this has been an incredible one. It's become part of pop culture like Friends and so many others. You know, Game of Thrones. Always said that word again.
It really, how many episodes, how many series have we up to?
Like 12 seasons.
Oh, it started in 2007. It made so many of them household names. But Jim Parsons, the superstar, is Sheldon Cooper, the quirky dude.
Yes.
Absolutely. But there's so much going on with this show, but the series finale happened and it came to a kind of closure. And we're not going to spoiler alert mode here by any chance, are we?
I don't know.
Saying this? Have a listen to this audio from the show. This is near the end.
I'm sorry. Amy is the one constant I can count on and now she's changing. I can't take anymore.
Can you believe it? They finally fixed the elevator.
Isn't that incredible? Since 2007, the running gag has been that the lift doesn't work and all of a sudden the elevator works.
It's a lot of eps. I mean, 12 seasons and each season's got about 24 episodes in it.
Yes.
So it's heaps for a broken elevator to never be repaired.
So many jokes for the script and joke writers to come up with gags about, we'll use the stairs.
I think it's the first time I've been able to relate to the show. That they've left something unfixed for 12 years, because that would be a Dictynsky way of doing it.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm a real go-getter. If I see something is broken, I'm like, I'm not going to live with that. I'm just going to fix it as soon as I can.
What about me, Kimber? I'm broken.
That's a longer project.
Yeah.
We can work on that one. I've been called a procrastinator quite a bit at home. But if it's something that I enjoy doing, I'll be right onto it straight away. And the other one will go for 4 or 5 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if it's something, if it's drilling a hole or something like that, put a picture up, or I'll do it that day. That's easy. But if it's something else, like, I don't know, there's a bit of rusty metal on that door frame or something like that, it's just a tougher job. And I go, I haven't got the tools and the know-how and the inclinations.
I mean, I wouldn't call this broken, but I think I did tell you guys that when I stayed at my in-law's place in the UK, my boyfriend told me that there's been a piece of paper that they've have jammed in their bedroom door because bangs at night.
Oh, when
the
breeze
never,
goes through,
ever put a stopper on it. Yeah. It's banged every night. And so every night since he was a kid, they have folded this stupid little piece of paper and wedged it in the door. And it was still in the door when we stayed with them at Christmas. Like, what are they thinking?
That's funny.
I know, but we do adapt. And I mean, even when I don't have to do the job, right? Like my taps in the Scarborough place.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
You know, I mean, T would come over and every time you turn the hot water tap on, the thing would fall off. Right?
I was going to say, it wasn't just dripping, it was actually dropping.
No, and then you could, all I needed to do was ask my landlord to fix it and he was great and he no doubt would have done it. But I just never thought of it because I just could found a way to get it back on.
Wow.
I think just about everyone's got a cupboard door or something. All you got to do is just get the screwdriver out, get the Phillips head and tighten it up.
Yeah.
And you'll let it go for, a month, 2 months, 3 years.
Give us a call and tell us how long it's been broken for. How long did it take you to get around to that job? Or what is that job that you just haven't bothered with?
Great prize here, Maddie, isn't it?
Absolutely. A double pass to see Taron Egerton as Elton John in the musical fantasy Rocket Man in cinemas May 30.
You can't escape the talk about this movie right now. It's gone to a new level as it goes to sort of Bohemian Rhapsody level hype.
Yeah. 133353, how long was it broken for?
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire'sy, Matt and Kimber.
After 10 incredible Emmy Award wins and 12 years of an incredible show, Big Bang Theory, finally the elevator, the running gag for all of that time since 07, finally was repaired.
Okay. Well, I hope it doesn't take 12 years to fix an elevator because we're still waiting here and I'm sick of climbing the stairs.
It really feels like 12 years.
It does.
Yeah. 12 weeks, wasn't it?
Stacey's in Bertram. Stacey, what's been broken at your place for a long time?
My bedroom light. So the black bayonet that the globe actually sits in.
Yep.
I flipped my mattress and hit the globe, broke the bayonet, and it was 4 years later before I actually replaced the bayonet to put a globe back in my bedroom.
Oh, so you just went with a lamp for some time?
Yep, 4 years I just used my bedside lamp.
That's classic.
I totally understand that, Stacey. Our bedroom downlights have gone, and every time I forget about it each and every day.
You switch it
and
on?
And then every time I go to put it on in the evening, I go, oh, that's right, I've got to get more of them. And it's been going on for ages.
Yep.
Good effort, Stacey. 4 years to change a bayonet
in
the ceiling.
Well done, Stacey.
Hanging around in the dark at Matt's place. Let's go to Belia. G'day, Debbie. What's taking a long time to repair?
Okay, I think, well, it's been fixed because the house has been demolished.
Right.
But
that's one way to do it.
Drastic measure.
It was a long time ago. My daughter was a telethon child and Jeff Newman was her friend. And he came to our house. So every time you turned on the kitchen tap, you had to put your hand on it or it came flying off
with
the water.
Yeah.
Well, he said, I'll make us a cup of tea. And before we had chance to jump up and stop him, he got soaked. He thought he had caused it. Fix it, pay for it, and trying to tell him, no, it's been like that for years.
Debbie, you should have taken that chance. That's when you say you did break it, and I'd love you to get that repaired. We've been dealing with it for 6 years, but he doesn't need to know that.
Oh, I was so embarrassed.
But he's such a sweet man, Jeffrey, and he's, you've got some precipitation on the legendary weatherman. Well done.
Oh, he was amazing, man. Very amazing.
Too right. Good on you, Debbie.
Thank you.
Good to share the stories, and we'd love to hear yours.
Breakfast with the Lot. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
But you wouldn't say we're the handiest team in the world. KC's pretty handy, I guess. She can get some power tools out and do a few things. But
you guys are a bit handsy.
We're pretty handsy, yes.
Does that count?
Not with you. 8:39 is the time, and we're talking about there's that thing at your place that hasn't been fixed. It's been broken for a long time.
Yeah, and you've just put up with
it. You start adapting to it, as
yes.
you said, Maddie.
You do. Janet's in Chidlow. Jeanette, how long has it been broken for?
Over 5 years.
And what is it, Jeanette?
The toilet door.
Oh.
Is it off completely?
We have no toilet door.
Oh.
What? No toilet door?
No, I've been meaning to build the frame so I can fit it for 5 years.
Oh, right.
What do you guys do when you go to the bathroom?
Got a temporary curtain?
We lock the back door, we lock the laundry door, and there is a curtain.
Okay. Is that like some little rudimentary basic bob thing?
Yeah. And a sign, occupied.
Right.
Yeah, that's just how you roll in Chidlow, isn't it? It's just open to nature.
Pretty
get
chill.
The air. Yeah, the chill.
Just the chill.
I feel like that's something I would be fixing.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I'm trying to fit around the rest of my life.
It's a really good talking point for, you know, people come over for dinner parties or just a coffee and they go, oh, I don't really want to go to that toilet.
Regular meetings and parties at our place, so everyone works around it.
Oh, good. I'll leave it off.
Turn it into a busy bee, Jeanette. Get them to do something.
Yeah.
I have got one of my mates who's put on two other doors for me, four, but not that one.
No, okay.
Sounds like the mate you need.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jeanette.
Okay.
Let's go to Corrine. Deborah, how long has something been broken in your house?
7 years.
Okay.
Ooh, what is it?
It was the ensuite bathroom mirror.
Oh, that is bad luck.
The hinge came off and it was lying at an angle. Then the other hinge came off, so it was lying even more at an angle. Mm. And I kind of shot myself in the foot because I figured if I could find a Makona empty jar, and that was just the right height to shove underneath the mirror to pop it up. So because I did that, my husband, who's an engineer, just left it for 7 years. So,
He's waiting for the bad luck to run out.
Hanging, it might have got fixed earlier.
Wow.
Wow.
I mean, I guess maybe you don't need to see yourself.
I started hating Macon coffee after that.
It's a long time.
7 years.
Thanks, Deborah.
I think the empty jar of Makona is what the Malaysian engineers of the Matagorda Bridge were trying to use.
Quite possibly. Yeah. Is that why we went back to WA?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amy's in Spearwood. Amy, how long has it been broken for?
It's fixed now, but it was 6 years.
And what is it, Amy?
It was our ensuite. My dad's a bit of a handyman, he decided he was going to renovate it himself. Ripped it all out, ripped out the toilet, did all the tiles and everything, and then got distracted by project after project.
Oh, one of those bikes.
And so it was 6 years before the toilet was back in.
So no toilet at all? And, you know, is that what you're talking about? No water, running water?
No, we had the one toilet down the back that the five of us had to use. And I had teenage brothers. It wasn't a front yard.
Yeah. Why you never start anything.
Yeah, if you're not a finisher.
Never start
anything.
You've
got to anything. Be a
finisher. Yeah.
Solid theory. Yeah.
Thanks, Amy.
Yes.
6 long years and maybe a scar.
Wow. I don't feel so bad now.
I can't live like that. I can't. It would drive me. Like having no toilet door, that'd be I'd just get a handyman.
That'd drive you crazy.
Yep. Right.
I did fix this, so I'm quite proud of this.
What have you done? Right?
But for at least 6 months after I moved in with T, the shower screen didn't have a handle.
Right.
Yep.
So you could not open it. To get in the shower, you had to use a plastic comb to kind of lever it
out. Hilarious. Did you go to Bunnings and buy a handle?
I did, and I put it on myself.
Oh, mate, we're so proud of you.
But I would have done that for 10 years, just levered it open.
Unless there was some pressure applied.
Yeah.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkies.
The juice.
Oh, you tell.
Let's hear it. Give me the details.
Guys, the WA Day Festival is set to be bigger and better than ever, and the great news is it's free.
Yeah.
Great.
You know, this is something awesome that we should get behind. Anytime our government want to give us something that's great and it's free, take advantage of it or they'll take it away.
Yeah, the state of the art lineups have been great over the years too.
It's great. Mm. It's Burswood Park on Sunday and Monday, June 2 and the 3rd. And they've got a few different zones there as well. So they've got an arts meets science zone. There's a play in WA zone. There's a cinema experience as well. They've got Screen West screening homegrown short films as well. So, and they'll do a fireworks display over the Swan River at 7:15 p.m. on the Sunday night.
Of course they will.
Yeah. We've got some left over maybe. Yeah. But the SOTA Festival, State of the Art Festival, it's so great. It's a free gig and they've got artists playing on two different side-by-side stages. So no one really has to worry about the set dash, you know, you go between one stage to another.
Prepare while the others are playing.
Yeah, I mean, great bands. You've got Katie Steele performing. Great. John Butler is performing. Draft.
Oh, what a legend.
As well.
Wait till he does Rapunzel.
Yeah.
Play
you're going to get Slumberjack performing as well as Jebediah.
Oh, cool. Go, Kim.
Yeah, and a bunch of other really great bands. And this is all kicking off from 12 p.m. So check out that festival. It's going to be great.
Awesome.
Here's me. Okay, now Game of Thrones. It is finished yesterday, so hopefully we never have to speak of it again.
Yeah.
If you thought that the accidental Starbucks cup in Game of Thrones was a huge error, it has happened again.
Yes.
In last night's final ep, a keen fan spotted a water bottle behind the chair leg of one of the characters.
Oh, really? People are really searching now.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, to me, the Starbucks cup was perfect product placement. Yeah, it was obvious it was Starbucks.
Yep.
But the water bottle has no branding, so there's nothing to come of it but human error.
Okay.
Bit of a shame. And the WA police had some fun yesterday posting on socials that they had rushed through legislation to cover spoilers and trolling, right, enforcing it all week. They suggested a jail sentence of 12 months and a $12,000 fine, which I think is more than you get for a home burglary these days.
Nah, good, it's good probably stuff.
It could be on par at least.
Law and order.
Yeah.
It's close. Now, I mentioned a while ago to you guys that Justin Bieber shot a film clip in an Icelandic canyon, and it was his film clip, I'll Show You. And because of the difficulties of the environmental changes and things like that, too many tourists went to the canyon and they had to shut it down.
Right.
Now, the officials, they closed it off to protect it because it's basically eroding. And when Bieber went to film it, at the time, they didn't have areas where it was cordoned off and ropes where he had to walk. And so he kind of just trod over the mossy greens did whatever he wanted because he just didn't realise he was destroying the vegetation.
Sure.
Yep.
But the problem is that last year, 2.3 million tourists visited it. And normally, 8 years ago, it was 600,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
So with that kind of numbers, those numbers, you're obviously having real problems with it.
Yeah.
So they've had to shut it entirely now, so no one can go. But eager visitors are still trying to go. So tourists have been rocking up trying to sweet talk the rangers.
Mm.
They're trying to get them to open the gate. They offer bribes. They said food from people's home country is the most common bribery.
Okay.
Someone at one of the rangers just churned down a free trip to Dubai in exchange for looking the other way. They said, if you let us through, we'll give you a trip to Dubai.
God.
Isn't that ridiculous?
People getting intricate with their bribery.
Well, especially because they've said it's an environmental problem. You can't come here anymore. But tourists are just turning up in droves, still trying to see it, because once they saw it in Bieber's film clip, they want to be there.
Well, this comes off the back of that beach, that famous beach in Thailand, being closed until 2021 reason.
Yeah, that whole beach needs to be totally cleaned out. And
that incredible influence. I mean, you've got a big star like Bieber going there. But imagine if Pink played live at Pink Lake that we saw on the Coral Coast. And then people would want to go there because we've already got Instagrammers going there. And tourists want to go and visit those places.
Well, the ridiculous thing is said the ranger said, someone turned up and said, we came because of Justin Timberlake, and they said, I think you mean Justin Bieber.
Dude.
So they weren't even really sure.
Oh dear.
That's your daily juice.
Very good.
Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
The Today Show Perth is on from 7 o'clock this morning on Channel 9, and our Kimber Kale is going to be on this morning. Louise Mumba, good morning.
Good morning, team. How's it going?
We're good, Louise. We're talking ugly fruit this morning.
I love this topic because I didn't realise that I was prejudiced to fruit until the Woolworths has announced that they're going to sell this ugly fruit. I know that Coles did it a few years ago. It's they called the Odd Bunch. Coles did it, and now Woolworths is going to do it, and they're going to make it cheaper for us to buy these ugly pears and ugly apples and ugly bananas. And I think it's a great idea.
It is a great idea, Lou. I'm having one of those mornings where I'm sort of humanity's spinning me out a little bit, and I can't believe we've waited this long to convince people that, you know what, if a carrot isn't straight, it still tastes like a carrot.
I know, but why is it that we had it in our head that there was something wrong with a a carrot that isn't straight. I don't understand that. I don't know how I got that in my brain.
Sesame straight.
It's because they haven't been feeding us real fruit for decades, Louise.
Yes. That's a very good point. But now we have to open our eyes and see that there are other opportunities we can give this fruit that isn't perfect. And I love it. I'm all for it.
Hey, Lou, what was happening to this ugly fruit, or fugly as I like to call it? What was happening to it before?
Well, I just assumed that it was getting thrown away. And that's why they're doing it, obviously. They want it to create less waste. And why shouldn't we be eating this fruit? It tastes the same. It's not bruised fruit. It's just slightly misshapen. And I think it's a great idea, and I think it's going to really cut down on waste for these big stores.
And hopefully it'll stop, you know, sweet potatoes being trolled and ugly shamed on social media.
Look, it's going to change the world one piece of misshapen fruit at a time.
Oh, yeah. I feel better now.
It's great fruit for radio, isn't it?
I think it's great.
Thanks, Louise.
It's a happy story. We'll talk about that a little bit more this morning. And Kimber, I look forward to having you on the show after 8 o'clock.
Thanks, Louise. See you then.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist.
Twist.
She's really good news reader, but here's what Jordan missed.
We're going to have to start mixing that up.
We are. We're going to have to change that.
Or just keep doing it until it becomes funny.
No, yeah. I don't know if it's going to have another round.
2024. Man in Dusseldorf in Germany who contacted a vintage car dealer and asked for a test drive has actually taken off with the car. And not just any car, right? This was a red one.
Yep.
So a really good one.
Oh, they had no chance of catching
no.
that.
No. In fact, it was a classic Ferrari 288 GTO.
Oh, my goodness.
Once owned by former F1 driver Eddie Irvine.
Oh, really?
And worth over €2 million. Hi, I'm John Hülsenschnaffen, just over the Rhine in Düsseldorf. If you're looking for a new auto with non-pushy salesmen and no dunkoffs, then come and see me. I've got a super Ferrari 288 GTO low mileage rotten color, once owned by Northern Ireland Formula One driver Eddie Irvine. It's really schnell. For just €2.5 million, drive away. So you can see it was already making big news, this car.
Yeah, and a dunkoff free zone. It's got to be a great place.
Absolutely.
Pretty appealing advert. Yep.
So the bloke rolls up and you know, when they get to swap drivers with the owner or the vintage car dealer, he's just gone.
Oh, he's just bolted. Because I was going to say, they always come with you with a car worth a house.
Yes. No, in the swap over, he just whipped over. So they have found the car.
Mm.
It was in a garage like 18 miles out of Dusseldorf.
Right, okay.
Just over the Rhine.
Yeah.
But they haven't found the driver.
Oh, he's done a runner.
He's done a runner.
Also, it sort of surprises me anyone would be interested in any car that used to belong to a race car driver. I mean, they have flogged it.
They have flogged it.
Like, you are not, that thing will take off in third gear. It's been so poked.
But a bit like golfers, people who love the motorsport game, they would be obsessed with the fact that Eddie drove it and drove it fast.
Absolutely. But where are you going to sell it on? On Gumtree?
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.